Okay, so that was Squeeze and Farfisa Beat and a little snippet of If I Didn't Love You, which is so true. Okay, so we're going about to go to our phone interview with David Dorpfeld from the Greene County Historical Society. And I'm cranking this up. And are we there?
Yes, I'm here, Ron.
Oh, excellent. Success. Okay, so I have a little introduction, and then we'll conduct the interview. The permanent charter of the Greene County Historical Society, dating from 1939, states that the object of this society shall be the preservation of historical matter relating to the history of Greene County in particular and New York State in general, and to create an interest in all matters of historical information, to collect and preserve, receive, and safely keep historical records, documents, books, paper maps, manuscripts, letters, journals, relics, and things which may establish or illustrate the history, growth, and progress of the County of Greene and its surroundings, and to establish a museum therein for their preservation. Now, that might seem a little dry for today's digital mindset, but the philosopher George Santayana wrote, "A country without a memory is a country of madmen." And I, for one, have been a fan of sanity, at least most of the time. But I always have felt that appreciating history is an important way to connect people through a shared cultural heritage. And as well as a newcomer to this region, I'd very much like to have a greater understanding of what has gone into making our slice of New York the way it is. So with that in mind, I'd like to welcome our guest David Dorpfeld from the Greene County Historical Society to discuss the role of the GCHS in our community. And thank you, David, for putting up with our technical issues, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'd like to talk some about my role as a county historian and maybe leave some of the discussion in the Greene County Historical Society for perhaps a little bit later session, if that's all right.
Oh, absolutely. I defer to you. Although I would just like to get a brief sense. I mean, how did you get involved with the Historical Society as a precursor to your becoming the Greene County historian, or did it kind of go hand in glove? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Of course. Let me just give a little background on the position. I'll explain how I got into it. I'm actually the fourth Greene County historian. There's only been four since the position was established, and every county has a county historian, or by state law is supposed to have one, as well as municipal historians for every town and village. But I was a 35-year member of the Greene County Historical Society before I became county historian, so I've been involved with the society for a long time and probably helped me to get the position. My predecessor was also, matter of fact, all my predecessors were involved with the society. So I guess you could say the position of county historian and the Greene County Historical Society kind of go hand in glove, but I try not to, sway the operations and so forth of the society. I try to keep these two roles separate, my membership there and my position, because there are many other historical groups in the county besides the Greene County Historical Society. I could go through them, which I won't right now unless you want me to.
It's interesting though. Yeah. So is there any type of coordination? I mean, how is there any type of coordination between the official county historian and the various their volunteer groups?
Yes, I try to be available to these other groups when they need research, when they need me to come and speak, when they need someone to advocate for them. And I will say the Greene County Historical Society has worked well with me on different programs. One in particular is the sesquicentennial we're experiencing right now with the Civil War, the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. They have co-sponsored programs with me. One in particular we had recently was a fall trip to Gettysburg, which we sold out a bus, and the Greene County Historical Society co-sponsored that trip along with the Susquehcentennial Committee. So those are the kinds of things, but I've also tried to reach out and be an advocate for these groups when needed. I went to the Greene County Historical Society and asked for their support, some financial support for the Pratt Museum, which they provided as a result of Hurricane Irene. So that's the kind of thing that I try to do with these groups when I'm called upon, when I'm asked to provide help.
Okay. And so what piqued your interest specifically in, I mean, your background? Do you have a professional background at all?
Yes, I do. I worked 24 years for the auditor and investigator for the United States General Accounting Office. And now they call themselves, I think, the Accountability Office, but at that time it was a little bit different name. And then I did pretty much the same thing for the state for 12 years. So even though I wasn't doing history, I've always been into investigative work. So I was always curious, and I was always studying history. I was always interested in it. And I, like I said, I was a 35-year member of the Greene County Historical Society. And being born and raised here in Greene County, I heard this stuff all my life. It seemed to pique my interest when the position became open. And at that time I was retired, so I applied for the position.
Right. Obviously, being retired opens up a wider swath of time for you to investigate the past.
Yes, exactly.
And it's more than simply just investigating the past, although I guess that there's a certain thrill to the hunt. As one might put it, but it's also about bringing the past to life, I would guess.
Yes, and that's what I try to do. I have a weekly column that I write for the three local newspapers, and that's been a lot of fun. Although I've written all my life more as a technical writer, but this has given me an opportunity to try something new, and it seems to be working out pretty well. It takes a fair amount of my time. But I do enjoy it.
Right. Well, that's how I actually discovered you. I mean, I was going through the website specifically of the Daily Mail, and there was Green History Notes. How did all that come to pass? Did you go to the publisher and offer your services, or did they reach out to you?
Well, here's how it happened. My predecessor, and even before him, Mabel Parker Smith, who was the second Greene County historian, actually worked for the newspaper, and she was a reporter and wrote for them a lot of history articles and such. And then my predecessor, Ray Beecher, who was in the job almost 20 years, had a column also. So when he passed, even before I became county historian, I approached the paper about doing the column. And so actually, I started doing the column before I became historian. Maybe it helped. You know, maybe being in the paper and having some visibility helped that I got the job.
Right, right. So it seems to be sort of like a legacy being passed down.
I think so. I think it's an important job. There's several duties that a county historian should have, and the first one is researching and writing on local history. And all my predecessors had published. I probably the least of any. All the others had at least a book or more in publication. So, but I'm just starting. So,
yeah. How many years have you been doing this?
I'm almost 3 years. Oh, these 3 years this spring.
So you're like a babe, practically.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah.
Let's go back to talking then about this idea of outreach, about bringing the past to life. I guess there's a number of different facets. You have the column. You have your work relating with the other historical societies or other historians, both volunteer, independent, or somewhat more scholarly affiliated. I guess. I mean, can you run through? I mean, some of the different facets.
Sure. Well, another important duty or function of the county historian is teaching and making public appearances. And I do that when I'm asked to. Like, for instance, I've addressed the Learning Institute over at the college on occasion. The DAR has asked me to speak. We had a Greene County History Day last year, which I played a part in. So there's been, from time to time, it isn't uncommon for groups to ask me and to come and talk about local history, which is one of the things I welcome. Also, in connection with the sesquicentennial of the Civil War, I'm very involved right now. We're going to put together an educational program on the Civil War to take out to the schools, and the county has actually sponsored that, which is a great thing. They've given us a little money to develop a brochure and such that we can use for that. So that's another thing. Historic preservation is another function. I've worked with an adjunct to the Historical Society called the Historical Register, and they've published a book on houses in Greene County that have been put on this register. It's probably approaching 200 now, and I've helped them to promote that activity and promote their book. So those are some of the things that, besides writing and local history.
Right. So that actually leads up to another question of mine that I was going to try to tie into in regards to the Historical Society. But before we get to that, just to remind our listeners, you're tuned to 90.7 FM WGXC, community radio in Greene and Columbia counties. This is the Wednesday afternoon show. I'm Ron Diamonstein. We're talking with David Dorpfeld from the Greene County Historical Society. He's the Greene County historian. And basically coming up on the 4:30 mark here. And David, in the context of historic preservation, an issue that has sort of begun to percolate a little bit more around Catskill in particular is the future of the Black Bridge, the legacy of the Catskill Mountain Railroad. And I talked to Vincent Seeley last week briefly about various news reports as to what the Board of Trustees were trying to determine in terms of saving or not saving the bridge. And as the county historian, I would assume you would be loath to see the bridge be swept away by either the tides of history or the tides of the Catskill Creek.
Yes, I know. I agree with you. I know people have approached me about that in the past, and I certainly would support anything that can be done to save that.
Well, this is why I ask. What role actually can the county historian have functionally in terms of trying to advocate, if that's what you would want to do, for preservation? I mean, knowing full well, of course, that there are economic issues. It's going to be an expensive proposition, actually, to either fix it or demolish it. Mr. Seeley mentioned that as well. Demolishing it doesn't come cheaply. But what exactly can you do? Is it simply just an advocate position? I mean, is there any force that you can enact in terms of more than simple suggestion?
Well, obviously, I think advocacy is the biggest thing. I could also help in research and finding out information if they needed help with grants and things of that nature, and keep it before the public in my column. But I don't have any particular powers where I can go and tap a funding source.
Okay.
Or anything like that,
right.
But I certainly could advocate for saving the bridge.
Right, and have you been asked by anyone at all actually to do any of those things? I just wonder. Has anybody reached out to you?
Only in the sense that I had some inquiries early on before the hurricane, before Irene, about any information that might be at the Greene County Historical Society, and we really don't have a lot. I mean, they were looking for things like blueprints and plans on the original construction, and I'm afraid that stuff is probably long gone.
that's too bad.
We'll have that kind of thing. But, you know, our engineers today are pretty smart. I'm sure they can do an assessment of what's needed to be done.
Right. But I would guess then, though, that there might be photographs and other documentation of the railroad in its heyday.
And
perhaps even oral histories of people who either worked on it or, I mean, I don't know about that, but, or, I mean, the bridge has been there for so long, even after its passing as an actual transportation corridor, I'm sure local kids would have hung out on the bridge, I mean, overlooking the creek in the summer. It sounds like a perfectly logical thing to do.
Yeah, there's a wealth of information on the railroad itself. I mean, there's oral histories, like you said. It's mentioned in books. We have photographs. I've done a couple of pieces in the paper myself about the Catskill Mountain Railroad. But as far as the bridge itself, other than photographs, I don't think we don't have much on that, okay, in terms of how it was built, the specifications, the blueprints, and so forth. Just doesn't seem to exist anymore.
Well, that's too bad. But I hope that if this process moves forward, trying to as it moves forward to try to determine what to do, I hope you'll be involved in this. I mean, personally, I just think it would be a terrible loss to the community if this was just simply to allow to vanish.
Yes, and I certainly will do whatever I can if I'm called upon to advocate for it, or anything else I can do. I have done a couple columns. I think I did one specifically on the bridge at one time, shortly after it was first threatened before Irene.
Oh, right. So, are there any other upcoming events or? You were talking about the sesquicentennial for the Civil War, and is there anything else upcoming that our listenership should be made aware of?
Well, speaking of, I'd like to just talk a little bit about the sesquicentennial and maybe save the Historical Society, because I think the president may be on at some point, maybe in the next 2 weeks, and let him save his thunder for then.
Okay.
But let's talk a little bit about the Civil War. There's a couple of events that happen every year, which is the Wyndham Music Festival and Encampment. Have you heard of that one? And also there's the Colonel Pratt event that takes place in Prattsville. Now, Colonel Pratt was the commander of the 20th Volunteer Regiment out of Kingston, and of course he was from Pappsville originally, and they have an event each year. In 2010 it was wiped out because Irene happened the week before the event, so hopefully they'll renew that this year because they're working hard up there on the mountain. So that's two events there. In addition, I understand from my co-chair that they may try to put a play on up in Wyndham. A Civil War-related play.
Yes, that's right. This is Peter Krug. I'm just jumping in because I play with the 77th Balladeers.
And oh, okay.
So I think we've met somewhere along the line.
Yes, we have, yeah.
Yeah, but yes, they're working on a play. I don't remember the whole title of it, but it's Amelia is in the title. And it's
that's right.
Play about letters that were written in the Civil War, between Amelia and a soldier, perhaps her husband or somebody which she was engaged to. I haven't gotten all the details of the play, but it promises to be good. And you mentioned the Heritage Weekend that we have the first weekend in August every year in Wyndham at the Center Church there. And that starts on Friday and goes through Sunday, as all kinds of musicians that do Civil War music that come from, out of state, some of them. Some of the Irish Volunteers come from Buffalo. And the event you mentioned that is done every year at the Pratt Museum is also quite a nice event with music and everything. Well, so I won't go on talking
well,
and talking.
Well, thank you for adding that. And John Quinn and I are meeting tomorrow to plan this year's events, although we have some things planned. Another thing we did, we sponsored a book by Regina Daly. She runs a column also in the three local newspapers, which essentially talks about or is a compilation of what the local newspapers had to say about the Civil War at the time. For instance, like the Windham Journal, the Capital Examiner, she reprints that, and then she took those columns or articles and published them in a book. We worked with her through the Greene County Historical Society, and I advocated for her as county historian to get the book published. So we did that. We have an annual trip every year. Last year we went to Gettysburg. I think I mentioned that earlier.
Yes.
This year we're planning on Antietam and and Harper's Ferry.
I'm glad to get the news about her book being published because I didn't know that. I'm familiar with her column, of course, Regina Davis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we have those available at the Vetter Library, which is part of the Green Coxsackie, which is part of the Greene County Historical Society, so you can obtain those there. And I just talked to the paper today about having them possibly available for sale there at the newspaper here on Main Street in Catskill.
Okay.
So that would be another venue that you could use to get the book. And so the other thing I wanted to just mention real quick, if I could, Ron, is
sure.
I touched on it, is the educational program. We're trying the Civil War Sesquicentennial Committee is we're going to put together an educational program, which, programs, where we'd have various speakers that could go out to the school and talk about different topics. As a matter of fact, I thought about having the 77th Regimental Balladeers as being one of those groups, but that might even be an assembly. But we feel an obligation to get this stuff out to the kids, to get it out to the school, the various schools in Greene County. And so we'll probably, the county's given us the money for this. We'll probably put together a brochure which will highlight the different programs which will be available to the school. And this would probably all start happening next fall. So we're excited about that. So we've done quite a bit. I think the other thing we did, the last thing I wanted to mention was we had a big Memorial Day ceremony on the courthouse steps last year. I'm not sure we'll do it this year. We thought about moving it around the county,
right.
Maybe to different places so we don't just always have it in Catskill. But that was kind of our kickoff event for the whole sesquicentennial period.
Yes, I actually recall that because I had just newly moved to the region, and I just remember seeing a whole passel of people right on Main Street. I thought, oh, wow, here we are. Small town America. It's lovely.
Yeah. One thing I've learned since I started doing this, I didn't know there was a difference. I had a lot of people there in period dress, and I had called them costume reenactors, but
right.
That's the wrong terminology. They're period reenactors, so somebody corrected me on that.
They're
not costumes.
They're period. Okay. Well, no, that's right. So they're representative of a certain period.
Right.
Well, that sounds really, really good, actually. And I look forward, David, to having you and other historians and scholars of local lore come by the show. And actually, we have some other. Irons in the fire, I think, and I'll discuss that with you privately. But I think this was a really nice conversation, and I appreciate you putting up with, as I mentioned earlier, we had a couple of little technical glitches and whatnot, and Peter raises a finger, and he wants to inject something. Yes?
Before we finish up, could you say just a little bit more about the Antietam trip?
Oh, sure. That will be this fall. Last year was in October, probably also in October, probably late October. It will be 4 days, I think it's 4 days and three nights. Regina Daly is actually putting it together. It's in the final stages, but it'll be a bus trip. We had a very good response last time. And what we'll have is speakers at each place, which these won't be your national park speakers. These are people that we've hired that are experts on the battle. Not that the national park people aren't, but someone will just be for our group. So we'll go to Antietam. They'll explain the battle, what happened. Same thing at Harper's Ferry. We'll have a different person hired to do that. So Regina, and I have to give her the credit, she really puts together a quality tour. And people just raved about the last one when we went to Gettysburg. So there'll be more details, and I will be talking about it in my column and promoting it in my column, and we'll get the word out to the other historical groups, and certainly John Quinn will know, and he'll get the word out to groups like the Pratt Museum and the Regimental Balladeers and stuff. So.
And is that trip open to anyone?
Anyone. Okay. So, the public in general, yes.
Okay,
so,
well, we'll keep looking for the details on that.
Yeah. You know John, right?
Of course.
Yeah, so you know, he'll have all the details once we've got it all nailed down.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Good.
All right, so David Dropfeld, Greene County historian, thank you so much for joining us here on the afternoon show. And again, as I look forward to talking with you in the future.
Well, thank you for having me.
Great. It has been a pleasure.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
Thank you.
All right. And again, my thanks to David Dropfeld. And the time is, almost a quarter before the hour, basically, at WGXC 90.7 FM, the Wednesday afternoon show. A little bit of music while we figure out where we go from here.
Virgil Caine is the name, and I served on the Danville train till the start.